Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR, and I want to welcome back to the program Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Hey, what's up, Tim? How are you?
It is Ray Pritchard, right?
That's me.
That's the name?
Yeah, coming in from the outer reaches of the solar system.
Yeah, you've been gone for...
For 3 weeks. Seems longer than that.
Where did your travels take you?
Spent a week in Oregon at a conference center there on the Pacific Coast, and then down to Florida to the Tampa area teaching at the Bible Institute, Word of Life Bible Institute, and then last week up to upstate New York also teaching. So Oregon, Florida, and New York, coast to coast in the last 3 weeks.
Now, you typically do that annually, right?
Right.
But
right.
Were these postponed from the summer?
Well, when I showed up in Oregon, I did my Bible conference ministry out there, and I told them it was their last week of the summer, and I said I was glad to be here on both the first and last week of my summer ministry because everything else had been completely wiped out because of the virus. But I showed up to do a week there and then 2 weeks of teaching at the Bible Institute and got to fly through the airports. And, Tim, I'm used to going through O'Hare. And there's, you know, clogged with people, clogged. Yeah. There was nobody there in Tampa Airport, nobody there. Up in Albany, I think I could have pitched a tent and slept for a week in the airport without meeting anybody. Just the airline traffic is obviously way down from what it was a year ago, same time.
Yeah, Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning, good to be on the show this week.
Brad Jackson?
Yes, and I have been moved from Venus.
Yes.
I'm no longer in Venus.
You're on the moon now, right?
Yeah. Our producer decided Venus was a little bit too close to you guys, so they've moved me to the outer limits.
The dark side, almost neighboring with Ray here.
That's right.
The dark side of the moon.
Yes. Elon Musk is going to, he'll come pick you up after the show.
Okay. I'll wait for him.
With his spacecraft or his driverless car?
Both.
I like the spacecraft.
Would you buy a driverless car?
I'm going to let everybody in the world try it out first. I'm going to be the last one
That's
to try it.
That's a good strategy.
What about you, Walker? Are you going to buy a driverless car? Is that what you call them? I don't know what you call them.
Yeah.
A car where you don't have to drive. You just get in the back seat and watch a movie or whatever and let the car.
Well, I'm not going to say I never will because.
Okay. Never say never.
Yeah, technology moves so fast. Who knows? Right. When I get older, I may be riding in a driverless car.
But they're going to have to prove themselves.
Yeah, they're going to have to prove themselves safe. And there's the human factor can cause a wreck, but can also stop a wreck.
I don't think it's going to work, but I've been wrong before.
Well,
I think
they're having trouble. It's right now. It's not working. That's why they're having so much trouble getting them launched.
Right. I just think people enjoy driving, and they don't want to give up the control of the. You know what I'm saying?
I could see driver assist, which they already have a certain versions of it, but I could see driver assist being popular where you can kind of put it on autopilot while you're on the interstate for a little while. Maybe listen to AFR.
Like Ray said, you first.
Yeah.
On that one. All right, a lot to talk about today. Dr. Frank Turek will be joining us in just a few minutes, as he does most Tuesdays. And for you Sandy Rios fans, she'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. If you want to join us on Facebook or YouTube, just go to those sites and type in Today's Issues and watch our live video stream of the show. We also post the stories that we talk about on our Facebook page. So take advantage of the YouTube and Facebook opportunities for the program here, Today's Issues. And Fred, what's leading the news?
What's leading the news this hour is an announcement from Utah Senator Mitt Romney just in the last few minutes. He is in on going ahead with the president nominating someone to replace Justice Ginsburg. He's all in on that. And
that's big news.
That is huge news, which leaves Senators Collins and Murkowski, Republican senators, as the only ones so far saying they're having second thoughts about supporting that nomination. But I have to admit, I was surprised. You know, Romney has not been a friend of President Trump in recent months. And so when he made that announcement this morning, further, I have a little bit from his announcement this morning. Mitt Romney was definitely talking like a conservative when he made his decision this morning public in Washington, D.C. Here's cut number two.
Well, I think it's straightforward in terms of the qualifications you look for, which is someone who is an expert of the law, someone who has a record of fairness and judgment that you think is consistent with the law. I prefer choosing those folks who are, if you will, strict constructionists, meaning that they look at the law itself and the Constitution, as opposed to sort of looking into the sky and pulling out ideas that they think may be more appropriate than either the law or the Constitution.
Would you be all right if the final vote was before the election? Would you have a problem with that?
Well, my statement applies to the current circumstance, which means the timing will be decided by the Judiciary Committee and the majority leader as to when it gets to the floor.
Now, Mitt Romney went on to say also, he says, you know, my liberal friends have enjoyed a liberal-leaning court now for the last couple of decades, and they may just have to get used to a conservative court for a while. So he was talking like a Lindsey Graham or the more conservatives in the Republican Senate this morning. But he's made up his mind, and I'm sure that's a lot of relief for Mitch McConnell.
Walker.
Yeah, that's good news. I don't know. I can't get into the mind of Mitch McConnell. I'm sorry, Mitt Romney. I don't know, you know, what's making him go in favor of a nominee at this point. Usually he would be one of the outstanding votes. But nonetheless, that's good news for President Trump, good news for Mitch McConnell. And when Lindsey Graham last night on Sean Hannity said that the Senate had the votes, he probably knew that Mitt Romney was going to announce that this morning.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ray, Don Lemon of CNN says it's time to burn everything down.
You know, what does that even mean?
Burn down, the system down is what he said.
Burn the whole system down, you know.
I mean, he's a crybaby.
Yeah, he is. You know, on this Mitt Romney stuff, I think the chickens have come home to roost, so to speak. I think the Republicans, even the, quote, middle-of-the-road guys like Romney, they were disgusted by what happened to Brett Kavanaugh because that was so far beyond the pale. That was so over the top. That was built on such lies and character assassination. I think the Republicans have said enough is enough. We're going to put our nominee through this time. And if Romney holds on, I think we've got the Republicans have got 51 votes right there guaranteed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And as we said yesterday, I don't see the Rush Limbaugh. I heard talked about this on his program, and I would agree. There's no need for a hearing, or whoever the president puts forth. I would just say, if I were the president or Mitch McConnell, I guess it would be his role here. Just say, listen, if you are undecided about how you might vote on said candidate, then we will be glad to arrange a private one-on-one interview for you with the candidate so that they may answer any of your questions. But if you've already made up your mind on this, then there's no reason to have a hearing. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And that way
right.
You avoid the Brett Kavanaugh, the whole spectacle that's been going on for 20 years since Robert Bork, so unnecessary. Because that will force the Democrats to say, we've already made up our mind on the candidate.
Right.
The Republicans, too, for that matter. But the Democrats, and if any Democrat has an open mind, then they will be savaged by the left.
For wanting to meet with the nominee.
Yes. Joe Manchin from West Virginia would be the only one I can think of who would say, I would like to have a meeting with the candidate. With the nominee, I should say. All right, what do you think about that idea?
Well, I think that's wonderful. You know, they didn't even have hearings. Historically, there's nothing in the Constitution that requires a public hearing. They didn't even have these kind of hearings until 1916. So they went well over 100 years and no public hearings at all.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. And
it's
I don't care.
It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time. The Democrats are all going to vote against whoever. Mother Teresa could come back from the dead. And
they would vote against her.
They'd vote against her.
Yeah. Right.
Because Trump's putting her up there and also the pro-life issue. As I mentioned yesterday, I'm sad to say, it's sad to say, but the Democrats, they are passionate about abortion. And any threat to an unfettered abortion policy, that is being able to murder unborn babies.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that the people of Mississippi, for example, or the people of New York or wherever should have the right to determine their own abortion laws, which that's what we're about to talk about, then with Frank, then the left goes nuts. Mm-hmm. They go absolutely nuts. So we'll see what happens with this, but the president has said he's going to appoint a pro-life justice, which he said that when he ran for office in 16, and that it's going to be a lady. He said that the other day. He's considering 5 individuals for the Supreme Court position, which I'm sure whoever he picks will be a fine candidate. I would like to see him pick Amy Coney Barrett. Remember that name.
Yeah.
Because if he picks that name, if you watch on live television, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer will do like The Exorcist. Okay? You remember that? I didn't see the whole movie, but the scene in The Exorcist, Ray? Where
yeah.
The, I don't know if Walker knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, Walker?
I've heard of it. Haven't watched
1970s
it.
1970s movie. What was the girl whose head spun around? Come on, people. Don't know? I don't know either. Anyway, you know the scene I'm talking about, though, right?
Right. Oh, I do.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Do. So that's what Nancy Pelosi, that's what will happen. She and Chuck Schumer will perform that act live for the American public to see, and Hollywood will scream to high heaven.
But to your point, Tim, about why have a hearing, Amy Coney Barrett just went through a hearing the last couple of years for her position on the Seventh Circuit.
Right.
So we already had that circus, you know, in the Judicial Committee.
Just play that hearing. Just play that video of that hearing again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And let that serve as the hearing. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to be to try to, they're going to say, Miss Barrett, when you were 17, did you kick that boy in the groin?
Were you mean to your boyfriend?
Yeah. After football practice, did you kick him?
Right.
We want to know right now. If you didn't, if you say you didn't, we got 3 guys who said you did kick them.
And the FBI should launch an investigation.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Dr. Frank Turek joins us from North Carolina. Frank is president and founder of the ministry. Frank, tell us about it.
Crossexamine.org, and the name you were looking for was Linda Blair.
A little Joe Biden moment there.
Linda Blair.
Linda Exorcist. Blair.
There you go.
She was the actress in
in
The Exorcist. And her head spun completely around on her neck, like an owl. you people up north, what I'm saying is OWL.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Frank. Roe versus Wade. The Democrats, that is their hill to die on. If you have anybody appointed to the federal bench, particularly the Supreme Court, that will not say they will uphold Roe versus Wade absolutely, then the Democrats are going to vote against them. Now, what is this? Tell us what about Roe versus Wade, and what would happen if it was actually overturned?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I don't think many people realize that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, abortion would not become illegal in the United States of America. What it would mean is that the states would then regain the right, which they've always had, to regulate abortion. And so some states might ban abortion, like maybe Mississippi, maybe South Dakota, maybe Alabama. You know, you could think of some states that would. You would think other states, like California, New York, everything would stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd go back to a state issue, which it always had been prior to Roe versus Wade. It would just allow the people to speak to the issue like they did prior to Roe versus Wade. And it should be that way, because abortion's not in the Constitution. This was made up. And even, you know, years ago when I was at George Washington University, I was going through a Master's of Public Administration program just in my final years in the Navy, and I had a very far-left law professor who admitted in class, despite the fact that there were many pro-abortion people in the class, that Roe versus Wade is built on the flimsiest of legal arguments. It is not a well-argued case. It is not good jurisprudence. It should be overturned legally, even though she didn't want it to be overturned.
Hmm. Why is the left so passionate about abortion?
Right? Well, because the new religion in America is the religion of sex. It's, I get to do whatever I want to do, with whom I want to do it, without consequences. And by the way, it's not just obviously a woman's issue. It's a man's issue as well, because men want the freedom of aborting the product of their activity and not having any responsibility for a new baby. And so many men are, and many men will pressure women into abortion who don't even want to get an abortion. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't happen if you were in a state that wouldn't allow abortion. Look, I'm going to recommend all of our listeners go to a website and watch a minute video on what abortion really is. Now, this is not for kids to watch. It's PG-13. But if you go right now to caseforlife.com, caseforlife.com, you are going to see a video on that page. You have to click it in order to see it, and it's going to be a warning on the front. The warning is going to say, the following video contains graphic and disturbing images of severe injustice. Viewer discretion is advised. And it's basically what you will see is the product of abortion at 7 weeks, at 10 weeks, and at 24 weeks of pregnancy. Mm. And if you view that video and you still say abortion is a woman's right, I think Jesus would say that you are believing the lies of Satan, that you are a murderer and a liar after you see this video, mm-hmm. if you still say that abortion should be legal.
Yeah,
and
I think
for any reason.
A lot of people who say they're, if somebody were to ask them, are you for the right, for a woman's right to choose? Mm-hmm. No, if that's the way the question is phrased, they're going to say, yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then if you show them the video, like what Frank's talking about, and you see an unborn baby having its arms ripped off its body and its legs ripped off its body and then sucked out like a vacuum cleaner. Mm. Or, I hate to describe these things this way, but this is the reality of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Another way of aborting is I should have probably put a caveat on there before, because I know children listen to this program, but I'm about to describe another way. Because this is the stark reality of what it is when you say a woman's right to choose. This is what happens to the baby,
right,
who has no choice. The unborn baby, they inject the unborn baby with what's called a saline solution, mm-hmm. which is salt, saline, and it scalds the baby to death. Mm. So they either dismember them and pull all their parts out and reassemble them to make sure they got everything. It's what they do in abortion clinics.
Right.
If we're going to talk about a woman's right to choose,
we need to talk about what they're doing.
Let's talk about what this is.
Right.
Exactly. And then people can make a better and more informed decision.
I agree.
What is that website you mentioned, Frank?
It's caseforlife.com. It's run by my friend Scott Klusendorf, who speaks quite frequently at crisis pregnancy centers and on college campuses about the issue of abortion. And again, it's a minute and 7 seconds, and there's no audio other than music, so there's no narration, and it just shows you visually what happens in an abortion.
Yeah.
And in order to, you know, sometimes you can't understand something clearly until you see it. And it's like, how many people listening right now saw The Passion of the Christ? Just probably almost every one of our listeners have seen that movie. Mm-hmm. Now, when you went into that movie, you paid to go into that movie. You went to see that movie. You knew you were going to see something brutal, but it was true. And many people walked out of that. Some people became Christians, as you know. Many did as a result of seeing that movie, because they'd never realized the gravity of what Christ went through in order to pay for our sins. And we won't realize the gravity of what abortion really is until we actually see it. And yeah. This video will show you the product of abortion, as I say, at 7 weeks, 10 weeks, and 24 weeks.
Hey, Frank, what are you going to be talking about this weekend, or do you know yet on your show?
Well, we're probably going to be talking about this issue, actually.
Okay.
And by the way, I know that, there's a lot of discussion about whether Trump should appoint someone now or not. There's really only two requirements. The president nominates someone, the Senate confirms it. Mm-hmm. Everything else is politics, right?
Yep.
Everything else is politics.
Confirms or rejects.
Yeah, that's right. Confirms or rejects. It's seeking the advice of the Senate. So the president is well within his right to do this now. If he didn't want to do it, he could wait too. Here's the problem that everyone needs to understand going into this is that if the Democrats win the presidency and the Senate, it doesn't matter what Trump does now, because Trump could put someone who is a strict constructionist, someone who's just going to apply the law, not make law. In other words, the power is going to stay in the hands of the people, not the judge. He could put somebody in now, and if the Democrats win, what they have said that they are going to do is they're going to pack the court. In other words, they're going to expand the number of justices on the court, and they're just going to put a whole bunch of liberals up there that's going to negate the conservative that Trump puts in. So it's still critical, even if Trump does get this nomination through, if the court is going to remain a court or become a court that's conservative and obey the law rather than make the law, that Trump needs to continue as president, otherwise, and the Senate needs to stay in the hands of the Republicans, otherwise they're just going to pack the court and negate this confirmation.
Who's ahead in North Carolina?
Who's going to win North Carolina?
Yeah.
If I had to bet right now, I'd say Trump will win North Carolina. And he has here in North Carolina, there's a governor race as well. Roy Cooper, who's the current Democrat governor, against Dan Forrest, who is the Republican. And Dan Forrest, I've known for 23 years, great evangelical Christian. He has the best slogan ever for a politician. It's "Run, Forrest, run." How can you not vote for that?
That's funny.
2016, okay. Forrest got more votes than Trump in North Carolina, and Trump won North Carolina. So
wow. Okay. Hey, Frank, take care. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
it. Great being with you guys. God bless.
That's Dr. Frank Turek. Take a break right here. Start that break music. And we'll be back momentarily. Fred Jackson, Ray Pritchard, Tim Wildman, Walker Wildman, and Sandy Rios coming up in just a few minutes. So much more to discuss and talk about. Crazy times in which we live, and so much is at stake for the future of our country in the coming weeks as we lead up to Election Day. Presidential debate will be, when is that, Walker?
Next week.
Yep. Yeah. I would have thought the Biden camp would have figured a way out of it by now, but I guess they got to do one at least. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
He doesn't want us ignoring the world either, but he certainly does not want us to neglect our families. And if you look at what's happening in our culture, much of it is happening because we have exported our responsibility to serve our families well.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before. Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association. The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby.
A mob gathered in front of Senator Lindsey Graham's home in Washington, D.C. early Monday morning, banging bongos along with pots and pans. Turns out Senator Graham had been tipped off, so he was not at home, but his neighbors were, and they were awakened by strobe lights and vile chants. They did the same thing to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's home. The mob trying to bully Republicans who are about to confirm Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's replacement. It's unlikely to work, but the threat is very real. In a separate video posted on Twitter, organizers of the mob action were seen practicing how to break down a front door. Anybody tries to do something like that in the South, they're going to be greeted by a homeowner extending the right hand of Christian fellowship along with the Smith & Wesson revolver. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern and download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Voting is a Christian's duty. We must vote as if our very freedom depends on it. We must vote as if our posterity, this country, and the world depend on it. Our vote must be cast as though our churches, cities, and economy depend on it. Our ballots must be marked as if our freedom to worship and to witness depends on it. We must vote as if our national sanity, security, history, and witness as a Christian nation depend on it. We must vote as if raising our children by biblical standards depends on it. And we must vote as if our life depends on it, because it does. And yet, after we have responsibly cast our vote, we must walk out into a world of chaos and turmoil, peacefully at rest, having faith in the sovereignty and goodness of God, His will, and His plan. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Dr. Ray Pritchard, and Fred Jackson. And Sandy, we getting Sandy lined up? She ready? Hey, what did you think, Ray, what Frank talked about there?
You know, he's exactly right. It's the number one issue, the number one problem from the pro-life side is getting people to realize, understand what really happens inside those abortion clinics, how terrible, how bloody, how murderous it is. And so I thank God for people that who have that website, the Truth About Life. You know, you, in 1 minute and 7 seconds, you can see the whole thing. People, some of the left-wing evangelicals accuse us of being one-issue voters. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If your life is taken away before you can even get out of the womb, that there is no other issue, Tim. There is. If your life is extinguished before you even have a chance to get started, we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Take life away, liberty and pursuit of happiness don't even apply. So, yeah, we are one-issue voters, but it's a really big issue. It's life itself.
Yeah. Fred?
Yeah, you know, it bothers me, guys, when you have Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, who describe themselves as good, solid Roman Catholics. We know the Catholic Church takes a strong, strong pro-life stand. I just don't understand. They describe themselves as good Catholics, solid Catholics. They go to Mass. Yet they're proponents. They are cheerleaders for the killing of unborn babies. I don't understand how their souls put those two things together. It's just appalling to me. You know, Ray, Old Testament, God hates the taking of innocent life. They used to sacrifice babies to the Moloch. God hates that.
Those who shed innocent blood, their blood shall be shed. That's the word of God. You know, this is part of the calculus, the political stuff, Fred. If Amy Coney Barrett, if she is indeed the nominee, and we don't know yet, we'll find out on Saturday, but if she is, then abortion is going to be front and center in the hearings. Yeah. And it'll be totally clear, Fred, totally clear, the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans when they see how this questioning goes down.
Let me just say, too, that if President Trump chooses Amy Coney Barrett, that is her name, she is a federal judge, 48 years old, I think, 47.
That's correct.
I think she resides in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Christian, pro-life person.
Mom of seven kids.
Right. Five natural.
Mm-hmm.
And then two from Haiti. So she's Lily White.
Seven kids total.
And the two babies, the two Haitians are black, obviously. she's going to be really hard to demonize. They're going to probably have to take that racist card off the table, the Democrats. Although they can get creative. They can say you adopted these children from Haiti as a ruse.
They'll come up with something.
So
right.
Anyway, they'll try to smear and slander her. Although there's no need in that. Just say we all know how people are going to vote. So why go through the hearing process?
Yeah, it's a politics of destruction, of personal destruction. That's what they did to Brett Kavanaugh. Tried to do.
Yeah. And Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, that's their strategy.
Robert Bork and others. You're listening to Today's Issues. Sandy joins us now. Sandy Rios. She's host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 each weekday morning, Central Time, that is. And she's also serves as Director of Governmental Affairs for our ministry, AFA, so she represents us in our nation's capital. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim.
You've been hearing what we're talking about. Weigh in on this.
Judicial nomination?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I think from what I'm hearing, Amy Coney Barrett is the number one choice. She is the one that the president has actually met with in the White House in the last couple of days. He plans to come down to Florida, and he says that he might meet with Barbara Lagoa. But that seems like a pretty laid-back approach to me if he's really intent on considering her. That's just an aside. I could be wrong. Maybe he's met privately with her, and I don't know it. But it looks like Amy Coney Barrett is the pick. In terms of conservatives, they're split a little bit. A lot of people are pushing this judge, female judge in the 11th Circuit in Florida. A lot of people are, it's kind of a mixed bag. And because she doesn't have the record that Barrett has, it's a little harder to determine. So I think some of us feel it's just a little risky.
Heaven oh, really? Knows. You we've, think? We've been, I think we've been down this road before.
Well, you should see, though, some conservatives who are vetting and having strong feelings have a different feeling than the American Family Association.
Well, they're wrong.
They're great defenders. They're great defenders of this Judge Lagoa.
Oh.
And so,
I'm not saying Judge Lagoa, she's one of the ones being considered by the president. I'm not demeaning her at all. She may be wonderful, and she's reportedly a conservative. But what I'm saying is we need a conservative, pro-life judge on the Supreme Court that has a proven track record on the issues.
Well, now, I absolutely.
We don't need to be
we're on the same. No, we don't need to be guessing. We don't need another Neil Gorsuch who's going to go in and then suddenly vote in favor of transgender rights and turn our country's laws on their heads. And I have to tell you that when Gorsuch was being considered, we had reason to worry. There were things about him that were I don't mean he's a terrible person.
He's going to be ranked a conservative when it's all said and done, Sandy, right? But he was wrong on a big issue.
Yes, and we had hints of that, is what I'm trying to say. And some of us, we're not allowed to speak of such. I'm not talking about me with you or public. I'm just saying in the circles of people that are discussing and vetting, that was, you know, we weren't allowed to like raise that question. And so we were uncareful. And that's, and we got Neil Gorsuch, who has been great on other things, but terrible on that one huge thing will have tremendous impact. And so I'm all about being careful. But I'm saying to you once again, of this same group of people that are vetting, they are being very casual from my perspective about the lack of a record from Judge Lagoa, Justice Lagoa. So I'm concerned about that.
Well, Amy Coney Barrett is the federal judge that seems to be at the top of the list for the president. And I have heard from her. I mean, I've heard from people who have heard her talk and testify. Of course, she had a Senate hearing committee, what, a couple of years ago or something like that? That she's a brilliant lady and very articulate and can defend herself just fine. She does have seven children, five natural, two adopted. I don't know how you have time to be a Supreme Court justice.
She's obviously made time. Well, she's been in. She was a professor and then a federal judge on the Seventh Circuit.
Here's the secret. Just in case you wondered, if you really knew how much the Supreme Court justices work, you would say, "Well, that might work really very well."
Well, good point.
They have various mini clerks, if you will, that do a lot of the heavy lifting.
Not M-I-N-I, but sorry.
They have mini clerks, like the 3 foot tall walker.
No, M-A-N-Y, many clerks.
Many M-A-N-Y.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Sometimes Southern English must be interpreted for the rest of the country. I've learned that.
Yep. Unless you're from the South, then you understand me clearly.
Then I have a hard time understanding
the North.
Sometimes other people from other parts of the country.
I can't imagine that. Like some that talk too quickly or something like that.
Several clerks.
Yesterday I was talking to a guy from New York. He was kept calling it a trailer. Trailer. I said, "What are you saying?
Trailer.
What are you saying? Trailer. Trawler."
Those are the ones where you have to think for a minute to figure out what he's saying.
Yeah.
We were working with a realtor from Boston several years ago, and we were looking at a house on P-A-R-L-E-R Place. And we said, how do you, he was saying it, but he'd say, "Parla. It's Parla. Parla Place." And I said, "Parla." I said, "Well, how do you spell that?" He says, "Parla, P-A-R," and he was so mad at me because I didn't quite.
What was
understand.
He saying? Parlor.
Parlor.
Okay.
Parla.
Parla.
Parla play. Parla play.
He skipped it. Skipped
we need
the
to get Ed in here and do his Hobbit Yod.
There you go.
Number. Hey Sandy, one other question. I know Fred and Ray may have one for you, but and I asked Frank Turk this last half hour and. I know we talk about abortion often here because of the reasons Ray mentioned a few minutes ago, that we're talking about innocent, unborn life that needs protection. And but why is this, for the other side, for the many of the Democrats, although not all, but for the they have about purged the party from any pro-lifers. But why do they, you talk about being a one-issue voter or party, why do the Democrats care so much about defending the right to kill an unborn baby? I mean, why is that?
Well, I think of it this way, Tim. For women who are on the left, getting pregnant and having a baby is a huge problem to career fulfillment, for many of them, for even life. You know, they don't want to have to take care of a child. So abortion has been a sort of a method of birth control for many of those women. And they have climbed the ladder of success, and some of them have chosen never to get married. Some have just, they don't have to have the burden. That's what they would say. That's what Barack Obama said about his children. Remember, if they got pregnant, he wouldn't want them to have a burden of a baby. So it's a burden to them, and it's freedom. It represents freedom. And for men on the left, well, let's think about that. They are burdened by having to pay for these children and have all the nasty entanglements of giving, having, you know, spawned some child that they don't want. And it's freed them to be sexually active, both of the, you know, men and women, to just have sex in any way possible that they want, as much as they want, and not ever have a consequence. So it really is the Holy Grail for them. It is amazing to me. I'm with you on why that is such a passion for them, that they're, nothing else seems to matter. That's what they see. But, you know, it's the same for us in a way. It is the ultimate litmus test of a person's soul and heart. How they feel about the sanctity of human life at all spectrums.
Yeah.
And
don't you think, too, though, that we can't overestimate the spiritual dynamic here? I know it's all spiritual, but I'm talking about God versus Satan here, because God loves human life.
Yes.
And you can't get any more innocent than a unborn baby, right?
Yes, that's right.
And Satan, as Fred referenced earlier, in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice babies to the false god Moloch, or the devil god, if that's what you want to call it. Right, Fred? Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
So, you have God, and the Bible teaches this, innocent human life, God doesn't want to see it destroyed. Satan, on the other hand, I know I'm spooking people who don't believe in the Bible. They go, Satan, what are you talking about? You believe in, like, Santa Claus? Well, if you don't believe in Satan, Jesus did, okay? So there's an evil entity in the world that the Bible calls Satan, and Satan wants to see unborn babies murdered, right? So choose life or death. Life, God. Death, Satan. So that's the spiritual dynamic at work. Christians who read the Bible understand this. I know for a lot of people, when we start talking like that, it scares them. But anyway, well, we'll see what happens here. Fred, did you have a question for Sandy?
Yeah, I just wanted to get Sandy's reaction. Were you surprised about an hour ago when Mitt Romney said he's in on this?
You know what? I'm not. Not that I predicted it, because I didn't. But I'm not surprised, because Mitt is nothing if he isn't careful. I mean, he's always. I have gone back a long way with Mitt Romney, and I've watched him flip flop on a million things. And he seems to do. He's very unpredictable, but he generally does what's best for him. And I think right now it would be very controversial in Utah, given what we're seeing on the streets, the out of control behavior of the left. The out-of-control behavior of the Democrats, I think he would be criticized, and I think he would not like that if he did not support putting another justice in place. So I'm really not surprised.
He didn't say he'd vote yes on the nominee. He said the hearing should go forward.
Yeah. That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
That's so true.
But he did say who he prefers.
Yeah.
He wants a strict constitutionalist.
Well, also, Senator Graham said the Republicans have the number to pass a nomination.
Yes.
So, Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham have obviously counted the votes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, all right, thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I think this, could I just say, I think this is a time, sometimes, you know, there are things that happen, and God has said in the scriptures that we should, this in Old Testament language, build an altar when they happen.
Yeah,
I think God has just done some incredible things lately to encourage us. Circumstances we have no control over, only He could do it. I think of, you know, that siege of the White House being canceled last week.
Yeah.
It was canceled. Mm. It was canceled. And then the timing of the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Nobody can control that sort of thing. It's not our fault, and it's not to our credit. And yet for the country and for the sake of the constitutional principles and also biblical principles.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, because now we have a chance to turn things around in terms of the moral issues. So he's interjected himself in unexpected ways, once again showing that we are helpless, really.
Right.
As much as we fight, we're helpless, but God is, I think, hearing the prayers of His people. Now we just have to respond accordingly and be faithful and finish this thing. I mean, I'm talking about life. I'm not talking about the election.
Yeah. right?
Finish well.
Go ahead,
Ray. You know, maybe, Sandy, it's all in the great plan of God. And we both believe this, that Franklin Graham, weeks before, set aside this coming Saturday for the big time of prayer in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. That, Sandy, I think what you said is exactly right. The fingerprints of God are all over this. It's all mm-hmm. coming together at the right moment. And friends, if there was ever a time when Christians need to pray, this is the day, this is the week, it's right now to seek the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I know that was supposed to be the last question, but Sandy, I got to ask you this too. I cannot remember I'm 57, so I've been following politics and have been interested in politics since Richard Nixon, since I was a kid. That's the first president I remember. But I can't remember a president. Well, nobody's seen anything like Donald Trump, whether you love him or hate him. You have to say that. But I've never seen any guy, a president, or rarely any politicians that have the guts that this guy has. To go forward with this nomination, now people would say, well, that's his constitutional duty. I know, but the Democrats are, bowing to do all kind of horrible things to him. Mm-hmm. And yet he goes forward, and then if he picks Amy Coney Barrett, like she's like a 5-star pick.
Yeah.
And you talk about, in your face, if to use a basketball, he's going to be dunking
yeah.
in Chuck Schumer's face. And then he's probably going to say, "How you like that?"
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've rarely seen anybody with the guts that Donald Trump has. He does not shy away from a fight at all. Now, sometimes he gets a little carried away with his the way mm-hmm. he does it, I think we all agree with that.
Yeah, he's fighting a very vicious enemy.
But I shouldn't say, I shouldn't be too critical of that for the very reason you mentioned, Walker. Yeah. How would I feel if I got up every day and the whole world's against you?
Right.
Right. And all you're trying to do is do the right thing for the country to make them. This guy was a billionaire, multi-billionaire.
He didn't have to do this.
No, he didn't. So anyway, what about his intestinal fortitude there, Sandy?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because yesterday on Fox, Ari Fleischer, who was the press secretary for George W. Bush, and Ari comes from the Bush world,
right.
And a lot of the Bush world are very anti-Trump. And Ari basically said this. He said, my view of Donald Trump has so shifted since 2016. He said, because he has so much courage, and because he has so much courage, he has infused other Republicans and people, Americans, with courage. And courage breeds courage. And this is what I see. That's from Ari Fleischer on Fox. I thought that was incredible. And I think what you said is exactly right. It is an amazing thing to watch. And I really do think that however it's happened, I don't want to make any, I never want to overstate this, but I think Donald Trump of 2020 is not Donald Trump of 2016. He's still himself in the ways that we all know, but it seems to me that his courage has been channeled differently. I know they say, I think at one time everything was about him. I think that's probably an accurate portrayal of the old Donald Trump, but I don't see it that way now.
Right.
I don't see it that way. I see him making sacrifices, as Walker just alluded to, that are uncommon, incredible. And in fact, there's been two attempts on his life this week. Did you know that?
Yeah, well, I saw one at the campaign event in Ohio.
Well, yeah, you heard about those two being arrested.
And the ricin.
What they had.
Wow.
Fred, for those who don't know.
Mm, these two were arrested. They were walking down a railroad track near the airport where the president was holding a rally. They had a backpack containing a Glock pistol with an extended magazine, 200 rounds of ammunition, and 4 tourniquets.
And some shovels.
Yeah. Husband
Where
and
was
wife,
this?
Looks
in,
like.
In North Carolina?
No, Toledo, Ohio. The president was there yesterday.
So this happened yesterday?
Yeah, they were walking down a railroad track behind the airport with shovels. They were going to dig their way into the fence. Secret Service and FBI.
Yeah.
And then what about the ricin?
There was a woman who's been arrested now trying to pass into Canada who sent an envelope to the White House with ricin in it. Now, whether it arrived or not, I'm not. Maybe Fred knows more of the details.
No, it was addressed to the president, but it was at an outside facility.
Yeah, it was detective
facility.
Yeah, so she's been arrested. President doesn't pick up his own mail.
No, he doesn't touch it.
No, but I think there are probably tons more attempts. Do you think that the people we see in the streets right now would not love to kill President Trump? Does anybody really think that they wouldn't do that if they had even any kind of outside chance?
We saw Kathy Griffin, remember, holding comedian. The head of President Trump?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Well, I'll put it in real terms. These people are going to the houses.
Right.
Now, you can't go to the White House. You can go way outside the White House and protest if you want to. But they went to Lindsey Graham's home the other night and shining lights through his windows, according to the reports. Mm-hmm. They went to Mitch McConnell's house. Senate Majority Leader in Kentucky. By they, I mean these far lefties, these radicals, and they're unhinged. I mean, the violence would not surprise me at all. There's a reason they're going to their houses. They're trying to intimidate them physically.
Yeah. You know what's interesting on the same theme we just talked about is that, the left thinks that's going to help. But I honestly think we have seen and are seeing Mitch McConnell, who I have not sung his praises, you might have noticed, and Lindsey Graham, the same thing. Look, they're finding their courage.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's kind of pushed them over the edge. It's like they could be buckling, but they're not.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to be grateful for.
Well, you remember Lindsey Graham during the Senate hearing for Brett Kavanaugh. He had a sort of aha moment, if you want. He just sort of went, wow, you Democrats, I know you. You're willing to go to this level, stoop to this level to try to destroy this man? Really? That's basically, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but it was like a moment of awakening for Lindsey Graham. Like, these people aren't friendly at all. They're vicious. And anyway. Okay, thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it. Take care.
You're very welcome. You guys, too. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. That's Sandy Rios joining us. We're proud to have Sandy representing us, our ministry, in our nation's capital, as well as hosting the radio program. Right. This is going to be crazy these next few weeks, right? Maybe beyond.
Well, we're down to 42 days, and I still don't think we've hit the crazy stuff yet. Maybe next Tuesday. I think craziness hasn't started yet. I think once we get to the first debate, then all bets are off. And it sounded to me like Sandy thinks it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett, which we would all agree, wouldn't we, that she would be a terrific choice.
Yeah.
Oh, we would be 100% behind that nomination. I think if they want to hold a hearing, the Democrats, and then they start mistreating her like they're going to, first of all, she's a woman. People don't like to see women
mistreated.
Even liberal women, most of them don't like to see another woman mistreated. So they start doing that kind of pulling their normal kind of stuff. She is a lady. Mm-hmm. She's also a mother of seven, including two adopted black children from Haiti. So the racist thing's not going to work. So I don't know. This could backfire on the Democrats if they start mistreating her and slandering her and calling up people from her high school days to come and testify against her. Maybe she was a mean girl or something
like that.
It'll
push voters toward Trump if they do that.
That's what I'm saying. So this could be, this could work out in the president's favor and in the Republicans' favor by going ahead with their constitutional duty to appoint a Supreme Court justice for someone who's died serving on the court as Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.